Mmm, the first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
We're back.
All right. Anybody we have our weekly review winners.
Our wieners.
Every week we have a new review contest and we give out one shirt, but oftentimes it's more for the best reviews. This last week, 12 reviews, 12 brand new reviews.
Ooh, that's fantastic.
Damn it. That's awesome.
It is awesome. It really is.
Our fans rule.
They do. They do.
The posse.
And as always, it's very difficult to choose. And if you haven't been chosen,
do better next time. Yeah.
No, I was actually going to say we really appreciate your reviews.
Of course.
Yeah. Yes. We,
but not as much as the ones we're about to talk about.
All right.
mean,
so we
they're
have,
all important.
We had 12 reviews. I'm going to give out four shirts.
Four?
And
four
I'll tell you,
shirts.
I'll tell
you, are we just made of money, Doug?
We are, yeah. We are made
giving
of shirts.
Shit away.
I felt like you're kind of Valley Girl with it. Four shirts.
Four shirts.
Four shirts.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh my God.
Yeah. No, actually, a couple people have not claimed their shirts, so I'm going to just give them away.
That's you know? What you get for
yeah,
sleeping.
Yeah, if you don't, listen to the show and don't know you've won, then we're going to give your shirt away.
Dougie threw
like
out
that?
His email and
yeah.
You got to do it.
Right, exactly. So let me announce them.
That's right.
S. Steeman, 22.
Steeman.
B. M. Reynolds,
23. I got Doug, yes.
Nacho Mama, 7401. And Wolfgang Schultes.
Oh!
Yeah, all four of you have won.
A shirt. How do they claim their shirt?
Shirts, my girls.
Okay, send an email to mindpumpradio@gmail.com. Please, only shirt winners. Send the message. Also, give me your size, your address, and your iTunes name, as well as your real name.
Mm-hmm.
And you get your free...
Yes, and
maybe some lingerie.
Everybody else, start your reviews for this coming week.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump with your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Hey. You're now listening to Sal DiStefano.
Followed by Adam Schaefer. And Justin Andrews, have mercy.
And the producer, Doug.
You took too long.
Why'd you guys
you
make that long. Awkward it's for me?
We're going to have to cut that.
Okay. Yeah.
Forget it.
You took too long, Doug.
Start over.
I didn't, you know, Justin said, and Justin Andrews. So I thought it was all over at that point.
No.
And then you guys look at me.
You can go, and
bro,
then.
What the, well, hold on a second. We need to have an intervention right. with horrible. Doug right now. We need to have a talk with you.
Okay. Yeah, what
do
is
you,
it?
Are, do you, what do you mean, and you thought that he was done? You're the fucking producer. You're
yeah,
the man.
Bro, you're the guy.
I don't ever think that again.
Seriously. Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Duly noted.
Okay, good.
That's he's just trying to feed our egos.
Who?
He knows what he's doing.
Doug?
Yeah.
I know he does.
I'm on to him now.
I know who the real stars are here.
The stars in my eyes.
Hey, what is today? Today is Quoi?
It is Quoi.
Oh,
National
Quoi.
National Quoi Day.
Yeah.
You know what? This is what I want all the listeners to do.
For you.
I want the listeners to do this. At some point in your day, we want you to yell that really fucking loud somewhere.
Quah, quah!
Record it and just post it on Instagram and tag us. Yeah. And tag us.
Yeah. It could be like a martial arts move.
Yeah.
Possibly.
It could be anything. Yeah. It could be anything. Just sneak up behind your grandma. Right.
Yeah,
just,
yeah, yeah.
Make her shit herself. Whatever.
Ooh.
Probably
don't do that.
And then tag us on Instagram, yeah. Mind Pump. We want
to
see it.
Pretty soon here, Doug, we're going to have to start doing a disclaimer before we start this show, I think.
I know. Mind Pump takes no responsibility for death.
Yeah, no actions of Qua.
Qua. So let's do the
Q&A. Let the Qua reign.
Producer Doug, ask us a question for fuck's sake.
Okay. I do have some questions here for you. All right. Emily Ham has a question. Are cravings indicative of deficiencies?
Oh.
Yes. Next question.
No. quick lightning round. I like it.
Yes, they are. Either you're deficient in calories or you're deficient in a nutrient. And in fact, you can have a craving due to a deficiency this is, in nutrients.
You know what it reminds me
Sal's
of?
Sal's wrong here. I'm going to
okay,
stop.
Okay, wait, hold on before
second.
You say it.
Yeah.
It reminds me of, you know how pregnant ladies, they eat like clay and like, you know, parts of mud mm-hmm. because the body's telling them to. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cravings can be indicative of deficiencies, absolutely.
So Sal is right. They can be. But there's actually more
not always, right.
more studies right. out that actually prove that over 70% of it actually is
it's
more,
a trick.
Is more psychological than anything else.
Mm-hmm. It's a trick.
So a very small percentage is normally because you're in a deficiency. Thank you. So for example, and I'm willing to guess, even though I don't know this for sure, but this is just anecdotal, as Sal would say. With my clients, anybody who has the craving type thing, it's my clients that are, I'm cutting, you know, that those ones that have those cravings, that's why it's due because of the deficiency. But if you're not in a caloric deficit, probably on a regular basis, you're probably the other person who has more of the psychological
yeah.
side of it. So,
yeah, you know, what's a good point, because if I'm bored and I'm at home and I'm not really doing anything, all of a sudden I have cravings to eat shit.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? Or if I'm watching a movie, have you ever watched a movie and had a craving for popcorn? It's like it's embedded in your yeah. in your psyche. But there can be cravings due to deficiencies like magnesium.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and chocolate.
It's like association, right? Mm-hmm. So some of those things, like you have memories that are good, and then you project your association with that particular thing.
My wife will crave, especially when she's on her cycle, mm-hmm. she'll crave like red meat. Like she wants
she'll
a
crave
big
like
ass
solitary
steak.
Confinement.
That's what my wife.
No, that's a, but yeah, she'll crave.
Oops.
Yeah, she'll crave steak. She'll crave red meat.
Well, so
times.
So, and I teach Katrina this because we're constantly we are living in deficits. A lot of times we're going on many cuts and many bulks all the time. So. It is common for us that the craving is related to some sort of a deficiency. So I mm-hmm. normally teach her to assess her diet. You know, have you been getting a lot of your good fats, avocado, your nuts? Have you been eating steak? Have you been eating a lot of these good fats? More than likely, if we're eating super clean and low calorie, you might be missing those fats. And so I'll tell her to ramp those up. In fact, I just told a client that the other day, add an avocado to her diet, or choose like an ounce of walnuts or almonds or something else. So. Anyways, it most certainly can be that. But I'm just saying that a majority of the time, it's more psychological.
Yeah.
And the studies that I was reading were actually talking about just – and that's through our entire lives of either whether we've been rewarding ourselves or being rewarded by somebody and that connection to food. So like, you know, everyone says like everyone loves cake. Well, some people don't love cake, right? And I love to dive.
We call those people assholes.
Well, here's what's crazy. This is the nerdy psychological part. Nah. I love to get into is that, you know, the studies will show that a lot of those things have to do with people have had a bad experience. Maybe, you know, whether
with cake,
yeah, with a birthday,
probably involved a clown,
a birthday or cake or a clown or something like that. And they have this thing, and then you have the other side
cake,
where
Johnny?
Most people relate cake to an event or a party, exciting, happy, and most people are cake lovers to a point, right? And
so what you're saying is, if we don't want our kids to eat shit when they grow up, we should just give them bad experiences with these foods.
So you should make it taste like dog shit.
Now I'm gonna give my kids some cake. You're gonna fucking eat all that cake.
Yeah,
I don't care how many times you throw up. And then that's it. They won't want
Do I need to keep referring back to my dog shit brownie?
No.
Where do you think
did that kid a solid?
Where do you think that strategy came from? Where do you think this the old strategy, like what parents who, when they were probably in the 60s and 70s, used to tell their kids they'd make them smoke the whole pack of cigarettes if they wanted a cigarette? Like,
yeah.
Okay, you're going to sit down. We're going to smoke this whole pack of cigarettes or you're going to have a cigar and inhale it. Like, what
that's
do they do?
That's such an old tactic. I love it.
It is, though, right?
Yeah. You smoked like a stogie. You have to smoke the whole Cuban, like, really? You just remember, like, these cartoons, these kids turning green and then puking.
That's so fucked up. You know what? Parents were fucking
they
badasses
just,
back in the day.
They were like assholes.
Hey, don't get me wrong. There's a part of us that kind of, I kind of like, that's kind of not a bad strategy when you think about it, because now that kid's going to relate.
You
know,
you want to smoke a cigarette? Well, fuck, you're going to smoke all this shit, get nicotine poisoning and lung cancer. I'm going to teach you
all
to smoke a
once.
Cigarette. Don't you dare smoke my cigarettes again.
Yeah.
Which is, of course, why we can't do that now.
Yeah.
But I find that hilarious. But I mean, that a lot of the food has to do with that,
yeah,
right? You
yeah.
know, you love going to the movies, and what do you eat? You eat popcorn, you snack on candy, you slurp on a Slurpee. So
what
every
you're
time
saying
now,
is slip some anchovies in there or something.
Yeah. You know,
whoa, hold on a second. What's wrong with anchovies? They're delicious.
Oh, God, you're an anchovy lover.
Anchovies? What?
In popcorn?
No.
That's what I'm
Maybe.
Saying.
It's a furry meat, bro. You, any meat that you eat that's furry when bro, it goes down your throat.
It's don't it's ruin salty, my joke.
It's salty and delicious. You eat it with some hard cheese and some wine, bro.
Yeah, well, so is dick. Okay. I'm not eating that.
That is a very good point, bro. It's hairy.
So I've been
hairy,
told.
Salty.
So I've been told.
Well, oh, yeah. Well, now you ruined anchovies for me, you motherfucker.
Yes, you see what I did there? Oh, too bad I was in junk food.
Great job, bro. Oh, well.
It's like dick. All right, next question.
Yeah, let's do this.
I'm going to try.
War J asks about your thoughts on Zercher squats.
Mm.
Awesome.
They're great.
Good old Zercher.
It's an old, it seems like it's an old school method, but yeah, it's.
Any guesses on who invented the Zercher squat?
Somebody named Zercher.
Very good.
Yeah.
Continue.
Boom. Yeah, I win. yeah, no, I actually love to do those with athletes that, like especially like baseball players, like golf, you know, people that have a lot of dexterity, use a lot of wrist movement, stuff like that. Like I don't want to put it their wrist in a compromised position, so I'll do a Zercher squat instead of a, you know, a front load squat.
So Zercher squat, for the listeners, that's where you hold the bar in the crook of your elbow in front of your body and you hold it tight to your body and you do a squat. It's kind of like a combination between a deadlift and a front squat, that's what I found.
Yeah.
I find the Zercher squat to be, it's painful in the arms, but you gotta get used to it. But I find it beneficial to my deadlift. If I throw those in sometimes instead of a deadlift.
It's a total different load to adjust to. And you know, and you definitely feel like different parts, like my core just lighting on fire in certain, you know, portions of the lift that I wouldn't necessarily feel in another type of a lift. So it's totally a different stimulus to adapt to, for sure.
Yeah.
I can't say that.
It looks badass, too.
I can't say that I've used it a lot or that I've had clients do it. The only time I had a client do it, and I had a couple guys I had this. So I've had FedEx and UPS guys that I've trained before. And because they're picking up and carrying these loads and boxes and stuff like that, is just training them.
It's a good technique.
Yeah. And so
that position.
And just teaching you too to take a heavy load like that off the ground and up like that. That position is very similar to that.
So, in fact,
I remember the reason why that even came up the very first
Here's
time was
your bike.
Was what my FedEx guy had injured himself picking up a really heavy box and, you know, probably poor technique and form. And so, you know, Zercher squats is a great, great way to train somebody like that. But other than that, you know, I feel like it is such the middle or cross between so many other movements. Like if you front squat and back squat and deadlift, I feel like you're going to get like that.
Well, it's because it's another variation of a barbell movement. Here's the thing. If you go back in time and you look at all the exercises that people did with barbells and dumbbells, you'll find a lot of exercises that nobody does anymore because they fell out of favor. But many of these exercises are superior to machines. And so if you're looking to add variety to your workout, look to these exercises first before you look at using a machine. So like a Zercher squat or a barbell hack squat, somebody asked me about the other day, are they any use? All these movements, just by nature of being free weight and having to support them and because they're different than your current free weight exercises, are going to give you elicit some type of adaptation, and they're better than machines typically. Machines are good for certain things, but if you want to, you know, if you're injury free, you don't have to avoid certain exercises, you're feeling strong, you want to add some variety, I love some of these weird, you know, lifts like the Zercher squat or like a side press or, you know, the Turkish get up and all these different types of movements that, you know, lifters did back in the day.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. I agree for sure. But I don't think when you talk about that, that's how you have to talk about it, in my opinion, unless you have somebody who you're specific trying to train that, because I don't think it doesn't trump any of your big main movements that we talk about.
No. It's a nice addition.
It is. It's a nice addition. I'd have to be in that mood to where I really want to go do something different like that.
I do Zercher squats maybe 3 times a year.
Right.
Yeah, maybe.
I probably do them the most, but like it, you know, it reminds me too. Of
you're so fucking awesome, aren't you?
I mean, because I'm just going to be like up here while you guys are over here. Right. it reminds me of the yoke bar as well. Like, so I'll do that every now and then just because I want a different feel, you know, and this is where instead of doing like, you know, a silly, stupid ass made up thing with the leg press machine, you know, I'll do something like that and not do like a side bendy kicky thingy that I just made up and posted on Threads.
Bro, if you really want to develop your gluteus medius, you know what I really would love?
What?
I would fucking love, and I don't know where I could do this around here. I would love to train with the freaking big, the strongman balls. What else?
You said that before. That
was Atlas balls?
Atlas balls.
That's stupid.
What do you mean that's stupid?
That's stupid.
No, hold on a second. We're going to talk about this.
Let's talk about it.
No, you know why?
It's real world strength. I mean, if you're going to talk about that and logs and shit, now you're talking about my Celtic heritage.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. Flipping logs and
shit. No, let me tell you why. It's not because you're lifting a big rock. There's a difference between flat back lifting and rounded back lifting. And I'm not talking about rounded lower back. I'm talking about rounded upper back. When you're grabbing that ball, you have to spread the scapula and you have a rounded back. And that type of lifting is different than the flat back that we tend to have with a deadlift. So if you're a grappler or if you're picking up heavy objects and shit, you want to strengthen that position. That kind of strength will give you really good lifting strength.
Okay.
And every day, you know what I'm saying?
Okay. Even though none of us are fucking wrestling anymore or doing any of that, I think that is a very good point.
Wrestling after the show.
I would have no desire to pick up one of those fucking 100, 200 pound Atlas.
How fun would that be, Justin?
Yeah, I've done that. One of my friends, he was all into that.
You don't think that would be fun, Adam?
Just to show you that I probably could do it better than you. That's about it.
Oh.
That's about the only thing that would motivate me to do it. That's about it. Other than that, like
Skadoosh.
I would do it one time and then I'd be like, all right,
I'm good. The ball lifter.
I'm good.
Adam Schaefer. The great ball lifter.
No. And I'm sure someone's listening will be like, oh, no, Sal and Justin are right. They are great. No, they are. There's great benefits.
I carry Atlas balls every day.
I have never even thought of it like that until you just said that, which I think that's an excellent point. And if you're somebody who is into like power movements, write that down, Doug.
Sal wins this one.
Yeah. Whoa, bro.
The tally marks are stacked.
Doug already tallies way too much on your side, or as it is, bro. Yeah. He's biased.
Hey, listen, don't make fun of me no more, motherfucker. When I see a text coming in today for you texting for Justin to fix your fucking website, bro. Okay? Talking about cutting steak for somebody. I think he put on his own credit card to fix your shit.
Hey, he's my baby boy.
He's my baby boy.
Hey. Oh, this morning I woke up.
We'll all cut steak for each other one day.
You know,
this morning I woke up and I had all these messages.
I give him pancakes.
And I was like, what the fuck? My website's down. I click on it and it gives me this error. And I'm like, fuck, I don't know what to do.
So he sent a message.
This is horrible.
I'm going to lose so much money today. Just help me.
I was like, all right, bro. I got this. It's going to be okay.
All right.
We're fine, though.
Yeah, this next question is, you know, related to that last question from, this one's from Raging Wheezy Gaines. Mm-hmm. He's asking about arm placement for front squats.
The two traditional places you put your arms are either fingertips under the bar with your elbows pointing up real high like an Olympic lifter would train it, or the traditional bodybuilding style, which is the style I use, where you cross your arms over the bar. In both cases,
kind of like a genie.
Like I'm doing,
I dream a genie.
Exactly. In both situations, you got to keep your elbows high. This is the key.
That's it.
Keeping your elbows high makes all the difference in the world. If you let your elbows drop, the bar will come down your arms and you're fucked.
You might also, as well do a Zercher at that point.
Right. And, where you place the bar, try and place it in front of your delts. And I don't mean in front of your delts away from your body, but in front of your delts close to your neck. Mm-hmm. Not everybody can do this. A lot of people will do that and their neck gets in the way, so it has to sit right on their delts. And that makes it a little more difficult, you know?
Yeah, not a lot of people have the flexibility, I think, too, to even pull off like some of those positions, especially with the wrists. So,
yeah, I can't.
Yeah, there's the method too, where you get towels and you can kind of wrap it over the bar and then you can grab and like gradually you can, you know, gain some range of motion get to that point.
Let's explain that. So what you do is you get two towels, you wrap it around the bar.
Right.
And you grab the towels with each hand with your elbows pointing up. So it's like I have my hands under the bar, but I'm further away.
You can
away.
Keep your elbows up. Right. So you're able to still pull with your hands. So you can pull, yeah.
Now, Adam, you've hated the front squat.
Yeah, and because of all these reasons we're talking about. It's just an uncomfortable squat for me. It just really is.
Well, yeah, because when we go to the gym, we want to be comfortable. That's
stupid. That's where machines come in.
I mean,
like the recliner of fitness.
I bring my pillow to the gym. Yeah.
Leg press.
Of all our traditional movements, front squatting is probably up there with I do it a lot more than Zercher's for sure, but front squats are one of those things that I do and I'm like, ugh. When I go into them.
Yeah,
you know,
nobody likes them.
Like, I'm excited. I get excited and amped up to back squat, to deadlift, to do those movements because it's one of those movements where it's just, I feel like, And Justin's right. I mean, working on flexibility with my wrist and getting comfortable with that. But it doesn't matter. Either or position for me is not comfortable. Mm-hmm. It's not as comfortable as resting the bar on my back. I feel like I could rest the bar on my back and completely balance it on my back.
Without your hands.
And without my hands and do a squat where I couldn't do that with a front squat at all. So it's just not as...
Well, the interesting part to it is I honestly feel it has more crossover to real life, you know,
with the front-loaded
positioning. Because, I mean, how often do you have things resting on your back that's loaded?
Never.
Unless you got your kid or somebody, you know, on your shoulders.
Well, unless we're doing piggyback rides like we did yesterday, Justin.
No, you're more like a train ride.
You're right. A front squat definitely translate more into what we do for sure.
And the benefit of a front squat is because the bar is front loaded, it keeps you more upright. You're going to get more quads. You're going to get some upper back activation.
I would think way more central nervous system. I mean, I feel like that's having a fire like crazy.
It's firing, but because of back squat, you can go heavier.
That's good.
You're also, I mean, because I can max out on a back squat easier than I can with
a
front squat.
Yeah, oh, it's a hard lot to max more out difficult. With, yeah, to get a lot of weight on that front loaded squat.
Yeah. Well, Justin, you've got a fucking great front squat. Because you do so many, probably because of cleans and stuff. Yeah. It's a good looking. It's a very, very good looking front squat. It takes me a long ass time to warm up in front squats.
Yeah.
I just did them today and I go bar, quarter on each side, 45 on, and I work all the way up to 270 and up. But I go takes me 10 sets just to get up there.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Our next question is from Pennyweight Craft Brewing.
Mm.
Your thoughts on mental versus physical failure?
Oh. You must be talking about fatigue. Fatiguing, mental and physical fatigue.
Is this working out related?
Well, I think this is, you know, sometimes people quit because they just don't have the mental fortitude.
Yeah, right.
You know what's interesting? I was just reading about this. I think I talked to you guys about this.
We talked about this briefly because this was another related podcast. I had listened to the guy, the Iceman, I believe his name. He was talking about this, about how the body is so much more capable than we give it credit for. And you know, one of his techniques was through breathing, and so he did a lot of inhaling, and the capacity for him to fill up with oxygen is a lot more than people utilize. And so, you know, that had crossover with all these different aspects, you know, from that. But it's just very interesting because I mean the overall theme is that basically there's these untapped abilities we have, but our brain has these sort of governing things that tell us, hey, you know, let's be cautious, or let's use minimal force with this or whatever, right?
Well, there's two things. I mean, one, you take a beginner and they go to lift something that with all their strength, their body's only going to allow, you know, I'm just going to throw a number out there, 50% of their maximal strength to be applied, because there's governors there to protect the muscles from tears and the joints from strains and stuff. If you train on a regular basis, you can access more of that strength. Elite lifters can access up to 90%, they've tested. There's that, but then there's another aspect here. And I was just reading about this the other day, to where they did studies where they took athletes and they had them do mental exercises. So challenges, mental challenges, very difficult, exhausting mental challenges before going out and doing a workout. Mm-hmm. And what they found is they had reduced performance in their workout.
Of course.
Because the mind, that was number one. So the mind definitely affected the workouts. And then number two, they've done lots of studies where they've had people go to complete exhaustion, where they collapse. Then they'll test their muscles, and they find like this there's still this stores of glycogen. There's still this muscle energy that's there, and this is a substantial amount. So it was the mind that shut down. It wasn't the body that shut down.
Well, I mean, I've bonked before, and I know what that feels like. So it's if you've never pushed
bonked.
Your where you literally have like you can't move. Like, it's the craziest thing ever. Like, if you've ever pushed yourself through a routine like that, or a workout where you're like, I remember I was doing some stupid exercise that this was back when, way before anyone even knew what CrossFit was, and some of my trainers, this is back in your days when you were with me, and challenging ourselves with some crazy row, burpee, fucking nutty, you know, competition thing. And I remember pushing my body so hard and so fast, like the competitive side of me, and then the system just shut down. Like, and mentally, I was like telling my body I couldn't even get down on the ground. Like, it just stopped. It was the craziest feeling, you know. And I feel like, and even then, you could test me and see that I still had glycogen in there. It wasn't that long of a workout or whatever. So, this is also anecdotal with our clients, but I mean, almost every single client that I ever trained that couldn't finish a workout or do this or that. It was always, it was never a physical thing. There, you can tell
they
when
mentally tapped out.
You could tell when someone's doing squats or doing something, and you could see their muscle give out. When someone goes to actual failure, when it fails or stops.
Let me ask you guys this question, because you guys have been trainers for a long time, like I have. I can always tell how many reps my client has.
Oh, yeah.
Are you guys the same way?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Like, I can literally say five more reps, and I'll know that that fifth rep.
That's why I never write it down. I mean, that's one of the reasons.
Yeah, it's true.
But yeah, seriously, though, every workout is like that. You can gauge it based off of what you see, you know, in the attempts, and like, oh, yeah, it's...
And a lot of times...
You should be like those sideshow guys that, like, predict
someone's body
reps.
Weight or whatever. Yeah. And I can't tell you how many times I'll say five more, and they'll be like, I can't do five more.
Yep.
I'm like, yes, you can. And in my mind, I know they could do seven,
yeah.
But I only have them do five because I usually don't take people to failure.
Yeah.
Right.
It's pretty interesting. Or I've had them add weight, and they're like, I can't lift 10 more pounds. I'm like, yes, you can. I can see how your body's working.
Yeah, right. You could totally tell. We could totally see that their tempo, how they're, if everything's starting to like
composure, like
yeah,
all
if
this
any
stuff,
deviations
like,
starting to kick in or what that, like if they're controlled, good form still, and completing X amount of reps, it's like, oh, yeah, I can add X amount of weight, no problem.
Well, what do they always say about these super advanced, like Navy SEAL training or these high level, training courses?
Always mental.
They say that everybody that enters
it's never the physical, fit.
Yeah, yeah, it's not the physical aspect; it's the mental aspect. Oh. So, really, if you're a high level, and this is actually quite true, if you're a high level competitor, athlete, or just gym rat that's at a high level where you've been working out for years and years and years, and you fine tune your body, you know your diet, you will probably make more gains once you've analyzed your workout and everything. You'll probably make some significant gains by working on your mind.
Yeah.
By working on the mental component of either A, knowing when to stop, when to push.
Oh, yes.
I don't know where I heard this, but it reminds me, you're talking about the Navy SEALs. Basically, what was I talking about? Oh, where... I totally forgot.
Yes,
it's been
damn it.
So long yes. since...
I have not forgot, like that in
it's a long
time.
Time.
Oh, I just had a total...
I wanted to piggyback off what he was
it'll
saying.
It'll come
maybe,
back to
maybe it'll come back to you here.
You made a
comment right there that I'm so glad you did, because I was going to interrupt you and say, this is also the problem that I have with the fitness industry right now, is that most people know that it's mental. We're on to this science. We understand that our bodies have these crazy physical capabilities if we could just push them to those limits. And so people have now taken those studies and that science that supports that, and now we've taken it to that extreme, that it's beast mode, everything. It's, oh, go balls of wall, train till you throw up. If you're not, you're leaving the harder you push, the more results you're going to get. That's the mentality that is promoted now. And it's also, when you think, it's the cooler mentality. It's the harder one. That's what people want, you know? And it's unfortunate, because you have to have that balance. You have to know that, and that's the key. When do you break yourself off? When do you let off the throttle? Well, there is a time when, and there's a time not to. And honestly, most people have it backwards.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I've used...
I remember it now.
Oh, go for it.
No, I just remember like these Navy SEAL instructors saying that, like, as they saw people go through the program, the ones that had the highest success were more like your farm kind of like middle of the country guys that were like just always used to hard work,
mm-hmm.
and had this like mental discipline that was, you know, nothing would stop in their way, versus, you know, your high performance athletes, or somebody that was a football player, like somebody coming in like this badass athletic, you know, physique that was ridiculous. You know, those guys just didn't have it in comparison.
And a lot of it has to do, and you can definitely train yourself to be able to increase your mental capacity when it comes to fatigue. Like, like for me, for example, when it comes to max lift, like moving a heavy weight for one or two reps, I'm very mentally strong. You put me under a weight that I need to grind, and my mind will be strong enough to lift that weight, or at least to my muscles' capacity to lift that weight. Now, if you put me in a stretch, if you tell me to stretch and hold this stretch, Sal, and get real deep in the stretch, I want to fucking quit. Right? I'm done. I don't want to hold the stretch anymore. I can't handle the pain because I haven't trained my mind in that aspect. Same thing with high rep squats or something like that. Like, I'll get under a bar that I know I could squat for 50 reps, and after rep 15, I'm like, rack it. Ugh, I don't want to do anymore. I don't like this pain.
Dude, that's how I am with hot plates. Get out of the oven. I'm such a bitch with those. Oh, I'm just like,
because they're
great analogy.
I haven't trained my hand to deal with it.
Do you guys take super hot showers?
I take a pretty hot shower.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I don't really like super hot showers.
I definitely don't like lukewarm showers.
No, my wife puts the shit on lava.
Yeah.
And I'll get in there and I'll be like, get that!
Scorches me.
Burned it.
Yeah.
Burned it right off.
I like it pretty hot.
Kev Reynolds, 26. Does eating before bed really cause fat gain?
Nope.
Eating excess calories before bed will.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, the studies that show that people who eat before bed are fatter don't account for the fact that that typically tends to be an extra meal. So people who eat at 10 o'clock at night.
Was that their only meal?
Right.
Yeah.
No, they probably.
Probably like, they're talking about six, seven meals.
The Cinnamon Toast Crunch and the cupcake that you went downstairs for.
It's all sugar,
Now, dude, to be fair, there is this whole, calories get utilized differently. And there are some differences, but it's so small that it's really inconsequential. It's not something you should really, put into your program. It's not going to make a difference. In other words,
well, let's do this real quick because I know Kev is someone who's one of our. I think he's a forum guy too, so he's one on the smarter end of our listeners for sure. Let's slide jab at everybody's.
You know,
name.
Hey, it's somewhat true.
Yeah. Well, here's the science. I could give you something that supports both sides and argues that. For example, there's been times where I tell people to, not eat, late at night because what I want you to do is have your last meal at 5 or 6. And then I know that when you go to bed, your glycogen levels are going to be completely depleted. And then all night long, your body is having to tap into fat. Mm-hmm. So then that's one way of explaining the science on how the body works and how it's a little bit different. But then there's also the flip. I could say to somebody else, you trained really hard at your training programs earlier in the day. And I actually want you to get a bulk of your calories. We're going to save the 1500 of your calories late at night, 10 o'clock at night, all the way till the end of the night. I could talk about how the best time for you actually to recover and repair is at rest and when you sleep at night. So what a great time to feed the body all these great nutrients and all this food that your body's going to be utilizing all night while you're resting and recovering. So you can pitch it either way.
I'll tell you why I enjoy eating most of my calories, I'd say probably 80% of my calories, 70-80%, are in a meal that comes close to bedtime. Mm-hmm. So like 8 o'clock at night, 7 o'clock at night. Let me tell you why that works for me. Because if I wait, it's a mental thing. I know I can hold out until that one big meal, eat it, and then boom, I go to bed. Like I'm not going to eat anymore. Yeah. If I make that big ass meal lunchtime, I guarantee you by the time 8 o'clock rolls around, I'll be hungry again. I'll end up eating more calories.
For me, it's productivity. So I've found that myself, if I eat a big meal, I'm so not as productive afterwards.
You have more energy when you don't.
Way more energy. So I want to kind of save that throughout my day and then really, get the fats, all those things later on because I know I'm going to be just sitting there relaxing.
Mm-hmm. I'm the same way.
I don't know if this is something I'm different than you guys, or maybe I just do this more than you guys. I actually enjoy always doing something kind of different. Just 2 days ago, I was running the Bulletproof the way he runs his fast. Then I'll run a fast.
You did a vegan day with me.
I did a vegan day with you.
Hey, how did you feel, by the way, after doing that? So you ate basically all vegetables.
Yeah.
Okay. How did you feel?
I felt good.
Less inflammation, right?
Oh, definitely. The big things I noticed was the inflammation coming down, the water retention. I totally noticed that. I have the puffy face. I did notice my jawline come out a lot, and literally just in that from that day. So, and the inflammation were the two big ones. And I was fine energy, so I didn't have any dip in energy or anything like that. I remember when Justin was eating the steak and you and I were drinking that shitty pee drink.
Yeah, and they were so horny for my food.
I was. I do. I do remember thinking God, I wish I was biting into that steak instead of doing what I'm doing
right now. I ate it real slow.
We just made out with Justin so we could taste it.
Yes. But I don't know how much science supports this or not because I do believe there will be enough science that supports this because we're just now starting to get into the importance of undulating your food and stuff, and there is more and more studies coming out this. I also believe there is something to be said about changing all that up. Like if you're somebody who is someone like me, bodybuilder guy, who for weeks on end sometimes are eating 6 meals a day. Well, I say that, but at the same time too, because I'm like that, I'll also be somebody who all of a sudden now I'm eating twice a day. You know, this last month.
There's so many benefits to doing that.
Because, and I can feel it. I can feel, yep. I can feel my body trying to figure out, what are you doing? We're used to getting our meals every 2-3 hours. Boom. Now you're only giving me 2 or 3.
Yep.
Or let's say I've been eating 2 or 3 for a little while and I go like, now I'm going to do throw a fast in there. Or now I'm going to do 1 huge meal. Or now I'm going to do 4 meals, moderate meals.
Yeah.
And I'm always fucking around with stuff like that. And I always can feel my body changing. I think that's.
It reflects a lot of your training style to begin with. I mean, let's be honest.
Right. Well, it should be your whole approach should be that way.
Yeah.
You should always change the pace, change the tempo of your workouts, change how you eat. Always eat healthy, but undulate calories, proteins, fats, carbohydrates. On the vegan day, your protein was way down. And the following day, you probably had a high protein day.
And then you can get a good gauge as to, you know, how you feel in those situations, like especially as far as like when you go to lift heavier weights or, you know, when you're on more of a low activity day or moderate day or whatever. Like, you know, maybe then you can sort of start pairing these things as far as like what you've already experienced by experimenting.
That is the point to take away from this. And I feel like that is the way, like Kevin, like to get into it. Cause you are somebody who follows us and I know is on the forum. Like I am so huge on playing with all those things and seeing what works for you and never getting stuck in one way, you know? And a lot of our questions are always geared at that. People want an answer. People want, yeah, like, is this better than this or this and that? And a lot of times we give,
Very detailed. Like, I'm always like, yeah, trying to bring it back to like the core things, but I know you don't want to hear that a lot of times, but it really is. Most of the time, that's what the things, you know, that you need to focus.
You know, a long time ago, my dad had a good friend who was a bodybuilder. I'll never forget. Muscular, back then he was huge. I don't know how big he actually was, but you know when you're a kid and you see someone with muscle, they look so big. And I went up to him and I'm like 13 years old. I'm like, how do I build muscle? And I'll never forget. This is what he told me. He said, work out your whole body 3 days a week and eat lots of good, healthy food. And you know what's funny? I didn't take his fucking advice because I was like, oh, bullshit. That's not the... And you know what's...
What Ronnie Coleman's doing, bro.
Exactly. And now I'm like, looking back, if I had just taken his advice, it's so funny. Because it wasn't no secret. There was no, you know what I mean? He didn't tell me the fucking tip, the secret supplement, he just said, no, eat a lot of healthy food and lift, train your whole body 3 days a week.
Well, I always find, and I don't know if you guys...
Smart man.
How long you guys have been doing this for, but I've been doing it for a little while now, a couple of years now, but they're not that long, where, you know, when I write a program for someone, it's so basic. You know, it's so basic. It's like your core main movements.
They almost feel patronized for paying you.
Exactly.
And they're like, you want me to just squat?
It's part of the reason why I make a minimum.
A
you cannot sign up with me for less than 3 months because I feel like I need to show them before they like just go like, this motherfucker, he really just gave me these 5 basic movements that everybody knows about. And you know what I'm saying? And then this is how I'm eating right now. And wait, I have to track my food and he's going to tell me. Me what I should do. Like, this is crazy.
I can't tell you how many times people have hired me and then they just succumb and just say, fine, I'll trust you.
Yeah.
And then, you know, 3-4 months later, they're like, ah.
Yeah, that happens like every time.
You're a god.
Yeah.
You're a god.
It happens all the time.
That's what I said.
Yeah. And they call me the ego.
That's my steak. Yeah. Doug, you like how Doug just cut my steak right there?
Yeah, exactly.
Just cut my steak. God.
All right.
Well, that was part of our workout routine.
What, cutting steak. Yeah.
I got a lot of experience. All right. Wolfgang Schultes asks how to make his reflexes faster.
Mm.
What muscle is that, Justin?
You mean like where are
your reflexes?
This
at?
Is what you do. You got to study. You got to study the cat. You got to look at the cat like reflexes.
Right. Yeah, you got to go chase like a bunch of chickens
like a cat. Nah,
you should have a friend throw wrenches at you.
Yeah,
because if you could dodge a wrench, you could dodge a ball.
Yeah. So you're talking about agility. For the most part, a lot of this is the central nervous system. This is a lot of you know, training the body to respond the way you want it to. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's tapping into that. It's tapping into that neural recruitment pattern. So,
in an explosive manner,
very much in an explosive manner. Yeah. Because, it comes with repetition too. It's something that, if it's a specific movement, you know, you're going to practice. It's just like dribbling a basketball. If I'm dribbling a basketball at a certain point, I have to get to a point where my body is just going to automatically get into that rhythm of it. And it's just going to be an automatic response that I've done it so many times repetitively that my body will remember this movement and it will do it, you know, to efficiency.
Well, there's a component of reflexes that's genetic, and that's just how fast your body responds to a stimulus, okay?
Yeah.
And most humans are almost identical. There's some that are a little faster, some a little slower, but we're pretty close to each other. Now, when it comes to reflexes in sports, there's a lot you could do with just training, just knowing how to move a particular way, which will make you move faster. Well, that comes with technique.
That would be a better question. Like, right. I don't know who's asking this question, but maybe they are an athlete and they're a basketball player.
Well, there's drills. I mean, yes, let's be honest. Like, let's just be like, there's cone drills. There's, you know, drills you do with a ball that bounces in an awkward fashion. So instead of having a predictable movement, you have to respond to an unpredictable movement. Okay, that's a great way to build, you know, a faster reflex. But I mean, really it's establishing that power, that recruitment pattern at a really high level. So that way, you know, what you're doing in the gym, as far as like power movements, will transition, you know, will carry over to these real sport specific movements that you're going to try to adapt to in practice. So in practice is where you work on your skills.
Yeah.
This is a high skill, related question. So whatever it is you're specifically trying to do, you have to master that by doing that movement, you know, 1,000 times,
right?
So, over and over and over.
So I think what we'd say is frequency would be the number one thing that trumps
the number one thing.
Practice.
Yeah. Whatever it is you're trying to have quick reflexes for, whether it be catching a ball or throwing a ball really quick,
swinging,
you know, whatever this react or karate, whatever it is that you want to feel these cat-like reflexes, you want to, whatever that movement is or that pattern, you need to repeat it, do it as much as you possibly can.
But being strong and powerful helps.
Well, yeah, right? Strong.
So that's why the gym, it does. It matters.
It makes you strong. It gives you more power. But when it comes to reflexes, that's a skill. Like if I throw a football and it hits the ground and starts to bounce, a professional football player is going to better predict where the ball is going to go just through years of training and knowing how football bounces versus some guy who's never seen a football bounce. If you ever looked at a football bounce, it doesn't bounce
like
a basketball.
Throwing a baseball at a baby.
Right. So,
and don't do that.
Yeah, poor baby. I hate to say it, but it's going to hit the baby in the face.
So it's just practice, 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 practice.
One more question, guys. Mayvon is asking about if they were to make a movie about you, what would the title be and who would play you?
Oh, man.
Captain Awesome!
I have no idea.
Dude, what would the movie
be? Let the narcissism game begin.
So, yeah, no.
Your life.
The Adam title. Would play me in a movie.
Yeah.
Stupid. That's a really hard one.
Well, let's start with this. The actor that would play you. I think if we can narrow it to that first, we can figure out the genre.
Can I pick on this question for a second? I mean, didn't you listen to our fucking psychologist come in here and got a hold of us? Like, we don't have that kind of narcissism. That would make us one of those narcissistic people who would have been like, if I was going to make a movie about me.
Brad Pitt all day.
I have never, ever in my life thought about that. And I bet the two that are sitting next to me have neither either.
How about this? If someone were to make a movie that you were to star in, what kind of movie would you want it to be? Not that it's about your life, but what kind of movie would really make you go, fuck yeah. That's the movie I want to be in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like a Top Gun?
So obviously you'd want to be in a Top Gun.
Yeah,
there's yours. So you'd want to be
Are you Goose?
Maverick, bro. Come on.
You'd want to be a jet pilot.
That was the first that came to my mind. When I thought of a cool movie,
I like that though. Yeah,
that I wanted to be someone in, like, definitely being Maverick would be pretty cool. Yeah. It's pretty badass.
Justin's already got I know Justin's got something picked out.
You think it's the go-to, right? Yeah, you know, I'm gonna go off the radar and say Indiana Jones,
Harrison Ford, Han Solo.
Yeah, you
I'm
do
getting
have,
the relationship.
Wait. All right.
You would want to be in a movie like that.
I just want to be an action adventure, you know. Well,
you might die, bro.
It doesn't matter. I die heroically.
See, I would want to be in a movie where I'm some kind of like revolutionary, like The Matrix, like I'm Neo, or I'm leading some kind of
I like that too. I like sci-fi. Yeah.
Well, not even sci-fi. Just I'm leading some kind of revolution that I'm going against the. You know, some powerful whatever, and we got to fight it, and I got to get
and
then I die at
like
the
Hunger Games.
Okay, and so I want
to
die at the end.
Okay, if I'm thinking deeper, so if I were to try and relate this to my
that sounds horrible.
Like Twilight.
If I were trying to think of a movie that I would relate to my life, I would think like that kind of tells my story or something like that through a movie. I think something like a Rudy. like overcoming overcoming odds and like your work ethic and you're that type of person. Like I think that type of a movie would encompass.
You disappointed me, Sal. I thought you were gonna say Rocky.
I thought you'd say Rocky too.
For sure.
I thought so.
I feel like you guys are racist all the time.
I loved Rocky though. Why am I racist?
Listen,
for that?
Bro, just because you like it.
Tell me you're not tell me you're not excited about the new one.
About what?
Creed.
No.
What?
Nope.
It's gonna be good.
I'll watch it because I have to, but let me tell you why I'm not excited about it.
Because he's not Italian.
No,
bro. He's black.
No, I don't care about that.
Man, racist. Yeah.
No, but because he's not an Italian boxer. Everybody knows we don't box anymore. You know what it is? It's because the first Rocky and the second Rocky were good movies. It wasn't a boxing movie. It was a love story, and it was a powerful one.
Yeah.
And then it turned into kind of a parody of itself. Well, right? The Russian was great. That was fun.
Back up and just do that one more time? Show me that passion and excitement to tell me that Rocky is a fucking love story. Do that one more time for me.
It is a love story. Rocky 1 is a love story. Yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
And that's what made it such a great movie?
But yes.
You're trying to tell me that Russian... What was that, Rocky 4?
Yeah.
Dude,
oh,
Rocky IV?
No, that's my awesome. Favorite. No, that's awesome. Favorite. That's an awesome movie, but it's awesome in like a cult, you know, classic kind of way. It's not awesome like in a movie great, like a movie that's going to transcend time.
I love that you are trying to take a movie that is that the only reason why it is great was because it has this epic storyline, comeback story.
Yes, but it's a love story.
Yeah, but you know what? You sound so terrible right now.
No, I don't.
Because 1, 2 through 5 through 6 are terrible acting.
Yeah.
Is not a solid plot.
What's terrible acting?
It's painful to listen to him talk.
Which one's terrible acting?
All of them.
No. He won an Academy Award in the first one.
That's a popularity contest.
No.
It does not tell you if you
acted excellent. He did a great job in Rocky 1. Are you kidding me right now? I'll fight you over here. On every section.
I get what you're trying to debate me right now. Like
Sylvester Stallone was a great actor in only 2 movies. The first Rocky, the second one he did good, but the first one he did a fucking Academy Award winning performance.
And Rambo 5.
Classic. No. And First Blood. First Blood,
yes.
He did a good job acting.
He says 40 words combined in all those movies you just listed.
You know what, dude?
That's about it.
I need you to take back what you say. Adam, I want you to take it back because you're about to get a flood of pissed off listeners. No. There's people listening right now that are with me.
I love Rocky.
No. I want you to say this Rocky, with me. Dude. I want you to say this with me. He was an excellent actor in Rocky 1. I want you to say this with me.
Repeat these words and then we can move on.
I refuse to say that Sylvester Stallone is a good actor in any movie he played in. In any movie he
just
played.
Just those
he
two.
Threw salt on your blood.
Now,
God damn it.
While right saying that, I have I all the respect anymore. In the world from I think he is a badass. I own all 5 of the Rockies. Yeah. I love Rocky.
Yeah.
But to listen to you try and talk about what a great film Rocky 1 is.
I mean, he's kind of Daniel Day-Lewis-esque.
Bro,
right?
The first one, no,
you
the
should
first
be,
one
you should
was
be,
great.
No,
you should be
not at all.
The first one was great.
Actually.
And at the end of it,
implant implant Sylvester Stallone into Last of the Mohicans right now. Go.
You know what, you fuckers?
I want you to.
I'm gonna look up right now.
Listen, I want you to look.
If I look up the original Rocky, you know how they'll explain it. They will say a love story. The original Rocky.
I'm not debating that. Are you debating that?
No, I'm not debating that at all.
It's the credibility
of
the acting.
Okay. Actually,
that's what you're debating.
So
am I right?
Let's go with love story. Let's compare it to a Sleepless in Seattle or
way better.
I don't
Rocky's
even watch those movies.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but
I don't know.
You can name a million love stories that
anything with Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Listen, at the end of it, they don't even really announce that he lost the fight. He's just looking for Adrian, bro. At the end. Remember that?
Yeah.
They're talking about, they're giving the scores. He doesn't care.
Hey,
he's looking for
I
Adrian.
I love your passion.
Hey, you should be slapped right now. You should be slapped right now for not being...
It's getting so hot.
You know what's funny is everything else this motherfucker knows how to look at objectively, but as soon as we start talking about Rocky, all of a sudden objectivity just goes right out the window and you can't look at the other side.
Right.
Like, you're really calling it a love story and arguing that it's one of the best? Like, are you serious
Rocky
right now?
Rocky is one of the greatest cinematic
right,
films.
Bro, we're going to arm wrestle.
Of our time.
Don't start shifting gears to cinematic because it is cinematic. I think it's a great film, but do not put it in a category with a great story or plot or great acting.
Oh my God, it's great.
No.
All right. All right.
We'll just, we'll move on.
You literally have no idea.
Make sure you guys stop
how
by.
How angry you've made me.
Please, please, when you guys listen to this, you guys get a chance. Make sure you guys do a drive-by slap, a virtual slap to Sal on his Instagram and let him know that's
you're about to see the fanatical kind of fans.
Both sides. I think this is a split decision right here.
I don't think so, because if those that are really, truly listening and then aren't pigheaded like Sal is in this situation, are they? They hear that I'm saying,
when's
I am
the last
a,
time you saw Rocky 1, the first one?
Not even a year ago, bro. I love Rockies. So I watch
you
Rockies.
You can't tell me Rocky 1 doesn't get you emotional. It doesn't move you.
It gets me amped. It's got great music to it.
Yeah.
And it's got great pump you up scenes where fighting and punching dude, fucking
it's
live
the, it's
meat.
It's the start of the training montage.
How many times have
remember
you
remember that genre?
Yes.
Training montage. You know what I'm saying?
Everybody
that
in this
was
room,
classic.
Everybody in this room has ran up a flight of stairs and thrown the victory hands up. And where
fuck
does that
yeah,
come from?
I ate like 5 raw eggs like every morning
how
for
many,
like
how
two
many,
so
that
weeks is, and then I die.
How many Academy not, Awards did Rocky
Salmonella.
The first one win?
It doesn't even matter. You know that's a popularity contest.
No, because
you know that's
I
political.
Believe,
you know that's a no, bunch of dude. Bullshit just like everything else we call out on this radio show. Now all of a sudden you're going to start supporting Academy Awards like they have some sort of validity?
They have some.
Get the,
I mean, well, we
get the
use
fuck
something.
Out of this studio. Get out of this studio. It's time to go home.
They've got some.
It's time to go home, Doug.
All right. Don't forget to subscribe. Review and rate Mind Pump, and please make sure to leave a message for Adam informing him how stupid he is.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.